Half of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome back to WTBQ, and thanks for listening to us today. And I want to thank Uncle Mel for doing a great show and for talking with us. And this is Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today, as I said, on WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing great today. We have the 4th of July coming up quite soon. And, you know, in thinking about that, I was talking to my 16-year-old daughter the other day. We were talking about history and how history is so important. And for a lot of us, we kind of forget it, especially when it comes to the 4th of July. We think of Independence Day, and we think of freedom, and we think of fireworks and hot dogs. But we do forget the importance behind freedom and independence. And in talking to her, and she was talking about history and the Holocaust, I also noticed that on my desk was a wonderful book, Surviving the Angel of Death, A True Story of a Mengele Twin in Auschwitz by Eva Moses. I'm not sure if it's Kor or Kerr. And she's going to join us in just a minute. And how important history is, and how important it is to understand the horrific acts of the past so they're not repeated again, and so that our children and adolescents understand how lucky they are and how important it is. And we're going to talk about that today, first with Eva, and then a little later on, we're going to talk with Rick Carrier, who was a soldier and liberated some of the prisoners from the camp. So we're going to talk with him in a little bit. But first, I want to welcome Eva Moses Kor, and I think it's Kor, to Shannon's Corner. Hi, Eva. How are you today?
Hi, Shannon. I'm pleased to be with you, and the name is Kor.
Kor. Okay, I was right. Okay, great. Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. You have written a wonderful little book, Surviving the Angel of Death, A True Story of the Mengele Twin, of a Mengele Twin in Auschwitz. You have great praise for this book. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, Eva Moses Kor has written a very moving and vivid account of an extraordinary and horrific experience. And that is really true. This is was a horrific experience. What made you want to go back and recall it and relive it as you wrote this book?
I live with it every single day from the perspective that my life has changed completely from the moment we were ripped apart from the family, not to see them ever again, and becoming part of the Mengele Twins experiment. So remembering and writing about it is not a problem for me. I think in some way it's a good therapy, and I also feel that teaching the young generation, as you alluded to your own young daughter, they need to know more about history. But I feel something even more important. While we learn history, that's important, but it's not enough to prevent it from happening again. And I somehow stumbled on the secret for world peace, in my opinion.
Wonderful.
Which is forgiveness.
That's a very simplistic sort of thought, and a wonderful thought. But do you think something like that could really work? Obviously, you have found forgiveness, and that must be really tough for you to do. Why do you think that could extend to world peace?
This is the way I understand the world. Mm. People who are hurt, they are angry, and unfortunately never learn to live at peace with themselves and with the rest of the world if they have been victimized. So they pass on that legacy to their children and grandchildren. And then the children and grandchildren take out revenge on the children and grandchildren of perpetrators. And now we have a new wave of victims, and it solves nothing.
It does solve nothing. You're absolutely right. Do you think that world leaders could get to that point where they could do forgiveness in any way?
Yeah, I have a good suggestion for world leaders. Don't do your conferences in plush hotels in some big city. Mm. Do your conferences on peace at Auschwitz and see, when you don't get along and you kill each other, what happens?
Yes, well, that's true. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, for those that are listening, especially those young people that are listening, and you really did write this book for the young people so that they could understand it and read it. You were 10 years old when you were taken from your family, you and your twin sister, Miriam. Who is obviously no longer, or not obviously, who is no longer with us, but she obviously left with you and stayed with you throughout this. For those who don't understand how torturous that was and who Joseph Mengele was, can you please tell our audience who he was and exactly what happened when you were 10?
We were reduced to the lowest form of human existence. At times, we didn't even know if we would live another hour or another day. Our conditions in the camp were filthy and crude and brutal. We had very little food. Food was a daily struggle. And then we were used in experiments that we, up to today, we do not know. I do not know what I was injected with. Actually, some people misunderstand, but I was the subject and Miriam was the control, yet I am still alive and she is already gone. But I was injected with a deadly germ that Mengele stood by my bed, and I was between life and death with a very high fever. Both arms and legs were very painful and swollen. And he said, too bad, in German, she's too young, but she has only 2 weeks to live. For the following 2 weeks, I have only one clear memory, crawling on the barrack floor to reach a faucet with water at the other end of the barrack, because that barrack was not allocated any supplies and no water and no medicine. After two weeks, my fever broke, and I was in the hospital for another 3 weeks. And when I was, which is amazing that I was released, because according to the Auschwitz Museum and the few books that I have read about, Mengele collected 1,500 sets of twins.
Wow.
The estimated number of survivors is less than 200 individuals.
Goodness. Yeah, okay.
Would I have died, Miriam would have been killed immediately, and then Mengele would have done the comparative autopsies. My diseased organs and her well organs would have been compared. And I believe that this is the way that most of the twins died.
Horrid. Horrid.
So I spoiled the experiment. I survived.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Do you know anyone else that has survived? I mean, are you friends with any of the other twins?
Yes. I have located, in 1978, I began looking for the twins because I remember the liberation picture, we marching between two rows of barbed wires. And I located, with the help of my late sister, 142 sets of, not sets, individual twins living in 10 countries and 4 continents. So the organization is a very complicated little organization. The greatest tragedy that I find today, that most of the Mengele twins will not talk to me because I forgave the Nazis.
Uh-huh. But the forgiveness, sorry for interrupting you, the forgiveness helps you. It doesn't help him, and that's maybe what they're not understanding.
They do not understand.
Right, and of course, it helps all of us. I agree with you. There is a documentary out, and you're the subject of the documentary, called Forgiving Dr. Mengele. And I think that you're really onto something here about forgiveness. It's a tough subject, because it's a really, really tough time, and it's so important for us to understand it. But I agree with you, if we forgive, we could move on a lot cleaner and have this not happen again. And I think it's so important that you wrote this book, and especially that you wrote it for the youngsters, the adolescents, and those who are reading this sort of thing to understand how awful this was. And I so congratulate you for doing it. The name of the book is Surviving the Angel of Death, The True Story of a Mengele Twin in Auschwitz. Eva Moses-Kor, you've done a wonderful book. I'd love to have you back on again and talk about it. In the meantime, anybody, you can get this book, I guess, through anywhere, right? Amazon?
They can get it through our Holocaust Museum.
Oh, perfect.
www.candlesholocaustmuseum.org or amazon.com or any bookstore.
Okay, that's wonderful. And it's definitely on Shannon's Corner. You can go there and get the name of the book. I thank you so much for joining us today. I applaud your work and I congratulate you so much on what you have done. And thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you very much for having me. And I want to thank the Liberator, Mr. Rick
Carrier,
yes. Who, without his efforts and his fellow American soldiers, I would not be alive today.
Oh, well, thank you. I will tell him that. He's up right after commercials, right after you. Thank you so much. I will make sure he knows that. Please listen to him, and if you want to call in, you can tell him yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Eva Moses Kaur, thank you so much for joining us. Again, the book is Surviving the Angel of Death, The True Story of a Mengele Twin in Auschwitz. Wonderful book, wonderful lady. Thank you so much. Everybody, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Rick Carrier, just as Eva said, and we're going to congratulate him for being such a hero 66 years ago. So stay where you are. We'll be back here in just a few on WTBQ.
Runny, stuffy nose, itchy, watery eyes, irritated skin, or problems breathing. Any of this sound miserably familiar? You may just have allergies. Get relief from Dr. Beth Louie at Warwick Allergy. Dr. Beth Louie helps people of all ages control their allergies and asthma. As a board-certified allergist and immunologist with more than 25 years of experience, Dr. Louie has the medical knowledge to correctly diagnose and prescribe the best allergy treatment, whether it be seasonal, sinusitis, food, drug, or skin-related. Dr. Beth Louie uses state-of-the-art testing, and she also gives the professional, personal, caring treatment you deserve from your healthcare provider. The office of Warwick Allergy is located at 8 Forrester Avenue in Warwick. Call 986-5352 for an appointment today. That's 986-5352. Visit www.warwickallergy.com for further information.
Willy Gilly Productions Incorporated, the Hudson Valley's premier film and TV production company, is expanding the scope of its operations to include assisting local businesses in taking their public images to the cutting edge. The company, based in Goshen, New York, is offering their extensive experience and expertise to all those interested in mounting state-of-the-art media marketing campaigns that will enhance their visual presence while building a bold new vision for their futures. For more information, call 845-294-7500 or email info@willygilly.com. Move up to new media with Willy Gilly, members Orange County and Goshen Chambers of Commerce and the Orange County Business Accelerator. Once again, the number is 845-294-7500 or email info@willygilly.com.
Suburban Propane is committed to the needs of our customers and the community. Where your neighbors, friends, and relatives and our employees take pride in getting involved in community events, volunteering, and buying from local businesses right here in the Hudson Valley. We also enjoy serving thousands of customers in our neighboring areas with the propane, fuel oil, and kerosene they need to keep warm, safe, and comfortable all year long. Backed by service that's available 24/7, 365. In fact, for more than 80 years, Suburban Propane has been delivering warmth and comfort to homes and businesses with a proven track record based on reliability, safety, and integrity. For a limited time only, become a new Suburban Propane gas customer and receive 25 free gallons toward your first fuel delivery, free installation to an existing gas line, a free safety check, and free heating equipment service plan for 1 year. That's right, all free of charge. Call Suburban Propane today at 845-469-2171 or 1-800-PROPANE or visit us on the web at suburbanpropane.com. Suburban Propane, proud sponsor of the Chester 4th of July fireworks.
Hi, this is Gloria.
And Nicole.
From 2 Mops Cleaning Service.
Join 2 Mops Live every Monday, 11:30 to noon.
2 Mops on WTBQ.
93.5 FM and AM 1110.
We don't just talk about cleaning.
We talk about life.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik from the law firm Bonasek, Krahulik, Cuddeback, McMahon, and Brady. Please join us for advice on divorce, foreclosure, real estate, criminal law, estate planning, and more. We'll be answering your questions 8 a.m. on the first Friday of every month on our town.
WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us today. And don't go anywhere, because we have a very interesting show for you today. We're talking about history. We're talking about the Holocaust. And as awful as it is, it's really important to go back and look, and as 4th of July is right upon us, to think about how lucky we are to have the independence and freedom. We were just talking a few moments ago with Eva Moses Kaur, who had written a book about Auschwitz and surviving it as a twin, and her story, which is a wonderful story. And she said, congratulations to Rick Carrier. And that's exactly who we're going to speak to now. Rick Carrier, 66 years
Turn
later.
It on. Go.
Oh, there you are, Rick. Hi, Rick. How
good
are you? I heard you there.
Good morning. I'm in California here. It's another day for me.
Oh, that's right. You are in California, so you are a far way away, but it is afternoon here. And let me just tell our audience that you were in Normandy, and you stormed the beaches of Normandy June 6, 1944, and a year later, you came upon a camp that was Buchenwald, and you went back there, and you liberated the people there, which were starving and horrible, and we'll have you tell that. But one of the most amazing stories, which has been featured many places, including the Huffington Post and Channel 5 News, Channel 7 News here in New York, is the March of the Living, where you met up with a man that you liberated from Buchenwald when he was just 14 years old, Irving Roth, and you guys met up just last year for the first time since then, 66 years later. He must have been so amazed at his hero for saving his life. How was that?
Indeed, he was.
I bet he was.
In Madison Avenue,
wow,
with some of his friends, and they invited me up to meet him. And so I walked into the restaurant, and there was the fellow that I had released as a 14-year-old kid sitting there. And when I walked in, I said, the one face in the sun just went like a bright, bright sunlight.
Wow.
And he got up, and he walked over to me with a smile on his face, and he grasped me, and he gave me a big hug. And he said to me, Rick, he said, I want you to know that I wouldn't be here, I would be dead if you hadn't saved me that day. He said, because I was on the slate to be shot in the woods by the SS troopers. They were going through barrack after barrack, and they were now down to the orphans there, and they were going to take the orphans out and slaughter them too. So, in a sense, the day that I discovered it was April 10th. It was on my 20th birthday.
Wow.
Now imagine that. Up to that point, I'd been a teenager. And on that day, I went from a teenager to a full-blooded adult with an experience that I have never forgotten. It was a life experience that was beyond belief. And I tell you right now, Shannon, it was one of those events that you can never, ever pass up. Until I was called by the people that they created the March of the Living. And they told me this was the one wanted me to come up and do an interview with Irving Roth, which I did, and then it was on television, and before you knew it, I was involved as like the poster boy for this thing, and we were going over to Auschwitz, Lynn and I,
wow,
and a cameraman who I'm doing a whole documentary on this. Right now, we captured 12 hours of experience over there at the Auschwitz and Birkenau, and also off screen with other people, and I'm doing one now here in California. Of a gentleman that also was in seven concentration camps, and he is out of them now, and he made a career of himself here out of all this. So Shannon, this is a whole thing for me.
Really?
Out of nowhere, suddenly one of the things, I never even talked about Buchenwald or this, the Holocaust, after I got out of the Army. I mean, I went to school, got married, kids, and everything. Blah, blah, that was all history. And even when I met my friend Lynn Ramsey in 1968, coming back from Vietnam, and we've been together now for how many years now? A lot of times, from 1968 to today. And not once did I ever talk to her about Buchenwald, ever. It was this is what brought it together, the March of the Living, they have taken, this was the 25th anniversary that we went over there and saw this stuff, and they had 162,000 young people from the 25th to this one. This year we had around 11,000. Other years have been more or less, but it's a young people event, and the whole thing for this, for them, is to remember the past.
Yes.
But ensure the future. And believe me, I heard your last guest, what she said, and I loved it, to have all the peace conferences in Auschwitz and Birkenau. And if they object, you'll kill them on the spot and burn them up.
No, well, good for her. But how is it for you now, all these years, as you said, you didn't mention it, you didn't think about it, it was in the past, it was something you did as a 20-year-old, just barely over being a teenager. Now you are a hero. People are calling you heroes. You're on TV, you're everywhere, and you are a hero. hero. How does that feel? Does it feel, I mean, certainly it feels really good because it's well-deserved and it's a true honor. But after all these years, when you looked at that man and thought, I actually saved your life. I mean, that is what life is worth living for, isn't it?
It sure as heck is. And I tell you, I'm now committed to doing this and saving the lives of people. Shannon, I mean it seriously, that I have sat down, now that I'm doing a documentary of this thing, I'm doing it, and I've interviewed all the other liberators who went over with us, and I have the interviews of every one of them that they had their life experience. And there, how many of them were there, Lynn? They were, 16 liberators went over and wow, escorted over there with us. And we have all 16 of them. I have all of them on tape talking about what they happened to them in detail. And Shannon, I want to tell you, I don't want to go over the phone to damage the ears of your audience, but some of the stuff was absolutely hideous. And what I have to do now is, since they mentioned it and it's first-person experience, I am going to show these things and absolutely blow the screen up with it, because it's going to be very, very tough. But to make it softer and make it palatable, after I get the track done as it was spoken and as it's done, I'm going to take it now and make a requiem out of it, do it all in music, and write it down from the, take the same story now, but write the lyrics. Instead of the words coming from them, it'll be singing people in the song and the music of the people that they're talking about, so that they'll have a little Russian music, a background. Mm. It'll have gypsy music. It'll have Polish music. It'll have Czechoslovakian music. It'll have classical French music. It'll have all the music of the people that were in the concentration camps, and then the ending will be a complete blowout, because I'm going to use the same technique that was used in for Spiegel's Pines of Rome, where it goes da 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 da, very slow in the beginning, da 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 da, and then at the ending of it, it builds up as the story begins until you get to the ending, and it's a big crashing with a full orchestra, and I'll have many voices, and I'm going to see if I can get someone like Barbara Streisand to do the ending. And the ending is going to be the Kaddish that the canons sing at the ceremony for worshiping the dead.
Wow.
And this I heard one sung down in the Capitol Rotunda last year at a Remembrance Day for Holocaust. And Janet, I cracked up, because in the dome of the Capitol, the floor was filled with people, and the top of it had what looked like a cloud from all the people in it, and up the top. And I looked up, and I got to tell you right now, I could see angels up there. And Alan, my son, was with me, and I poked him in the ridge with my elbow. I said, Alan, take a look up. And he looked up, and he looked back at me, and he said, is that for real, Rick? And I said, yes. And he said, boy, oh, boy, I haven't seen anything like this, and neither have I.
Well, let me tell the audience, you are no stranger to making film, because that was part of your career for many years between, you know, as you were grown up and, you know, after the Army and everything. So you are very familiar with that. When will this documentary come out?
All right, let me tell you. First of all, the film that I made 50 years ago was now picked up by Turner Classic Movie.
Congratulations.
And it was broadcast on Friday last. And they got a great introduction, and it's now resurrected throughout the nation, Strangers in the City. So, and this picture that I'm going to do now, I will have done the classic part of it will be done by next spring, so that when they go, and I want to bring it out and announce it for the next big March of the Living event. And so that we'll have a real new story of the Holocaust that no one has ever seen before, Shannon.
Wow.
And I'm going to use the top musicians to write the music for it, the top orchestra that I can get to play it, and the top singers to sing it.
Wow,
so there it is.
That'll be wonderful. And I hope you get to show it to the children and the high schools and places like that. Because as we were saying, you know, with July 4th coming up, it's so important that we look at history and feel so good to be where we are, and to look at people like you as heroes that have helped and saved people, and that we won't have this happen again, because it is an important lesson in history, isn't it?
Well, Shannon, I can tell you, I don't feel like a hero. I feel like I'm still a liberator.
Yeah.
And my mission is to liberate all the people, like the poor people over in Syria, the poor people people down in Africa that are having their being chopped up with machetes. The poor people in South America that are being beat up by a dictator. I mean, all these dictators, the little ones around and big ones around, are doing the horrors exactly as Nazis
did.
And they're getting away with it. And but God, I'm now working on a process to end that.
Good.
And I believe me, I have a solution to it. Now next time I see you and I'm going to talk to you both. And
okay.
Tell you your jaws are going to open because I have a foolproof way to eliminate dictators without having to break any law.
Well, maybe you should get together with Eva because she's got a good plan too. Between the two of you, we're going to have a changed world, and that's the way it should be. Rick Carrier, we have to wrap it up for today, but Rick Carrier, I thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm looking to be with you and Alan again.
We'll see you soon, definitely this summer.
Out there and sharing an evening in front of a fire.
That sounds wonderful. We'll definitely see you
this
summer.
My love to you and to your daughter and to Alan.
Thank you. You too, and the same to Lynn. And thank you. That's Rick Carrier. Absolutely a hero. There is no question. If that word can ever be used, it is definitely with Rick Carrier. Thank you so much for joining us today, everybody. And do pay attention to history because it does matter where we go from here, and it's important lessons to be learned. Thank you so much for joining us today. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.